Session 4, Quiet Talks on Marriage. As we begin this fourth discussion, we want to focus on the instructions given in the Word of God to the husband. In our next session, we will focus on the instructions to the wife. This order is biblically significant. God always speaks to the man first. From the first family onward, God focuses on the responsibility of the man, the husband, to walk before him in obedience. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they hid from God. When God found them, he said, "Adam, where are you?" God called Adam by name. He held Adam responsible for the conduct of his family. Men, God always speaks to us first. He holds us responsible to lead our family. But God never commands us to do anything that he does not enable us to do when we look to him in simple faith. Nothing will cause a man to grow spiritually like becoming a leader to his family, stepping up and leading out to obey God. Thus far, we have used the hand in two ways in our study: to picture the good hand, the basic needs of a marriage, and to picture the bad hand, Satan's weapons to destroy a marriage. Now we need to use the hand again. Imagine that you have a third hand. So to the good hand and the bad hand, let's add the five biblical priorities of life for a married couple. You already know these, but it will be so helpful to list them clearly and in order. Each of the things we mention will be vitally important, but the key is that each must be placed in their proper order. There is an order of priority. What are the five biblical priorities of life for a married couple? Let's put these on the fingers of your hand. Let's begin with your thumb. Jesus Christ is the first priority of a Christian's life. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." No Christian argues with this concept. Every child of God knows that Jesus is the first issue of life. He is Lord of life. Everything in life is to be surrendered to his glory. And when he is Lord of life, God promises to take care of the remaining needs of our life, the things that so often keep him from being our first focus. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." My marriage partner is the second priority of my life as a Christian. To the husband, God says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Ephesians 5:25. As Christ cared for his body, the church, so a man is to care for his wife. To the wife, God says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." Ephesians 5:22. In the same way that a wife recognizes the leadership of Christ in her life, she is to recognize the leadership of her husband. This is reflected in her attitude toward her husband, the recognition of God's structure for the family. Unlike the first priority, which has little opposition or controversy, the second priority is one of the most misunderstood and misrepresented teachings in the Word of God. Basically, this second priority is not accepted in our modern world. It is seen as a harmful holdover from the past. But for the moment, let's just point out the place my wife is to hold in my life, and let's point out the place I am to hold in her life. Simply stated, the second priority teaches that the person I'm married to is to hold the most important place in my life other than Jesus Christ. My first focus is Christ. My second focus is my marriage partner. Children are the third priority for Christian parents. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Notice the special place the father is to play in the rearing of a child. Now, both parents must work together as a team in the rearing of their children. While the mother provides the ground of nurturing, which the father cannot replace, the father is responsible to see that a healthy and encouraging structure is given for the children. He must exercise a loving authority within the family unit, which assures that the children mature spiritually as well as physically, emotionally, and academically. In passing, notice that my children are never to move ahead of my marriage partner in importance and focus. This is not good for the children, and it certainly is not good for the marriage. The body of Christ, the church, is the fourth priority of a Christian's life. Remember that the church is not the building or human organization we attend on Sunday. It is the living body of Christ, made up of all Christians of all the centuries, from its beginning until Jesus comes back for his bride. My local church, which I attend with my family, is just a small part of a worldwide movement. Hebrews 10:24-25 state, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." A Christian family is to be involved as a meaningful part of a church family. This involvement provides an essential encouragement for spiritual growth and well-being. The church should reinforce what is taught in the home. Our work is the fifth priority of a Christian's life. Our basic responsibilities, whether we are paid or volunteer. The Apostle Paul gives these instructions to Christians. Colossians 3:17 reads, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Our work, our daily responsibilities, are to be done in the name of Jesus. And then in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So the Christian works first for Jesus' glory, then for human approval. What are the consequences for failure to hold these priorities? What will happen if my priorities are not right? First, I will have wrong priorities. A false God will rule my life. If the real God is not first in my life, something else will be. Secondly, I will have blind spots in my life. I will make poor decisions. Right priorities enable me to see, to discern what is right and best. Thirdly, I will allow spiritual deception to enter into and to influence my family. I will not be able to discern what is valuable for eternity. Please note, what I love, I pass on to my children to be loved. My wrong priorities will be learned by them. They will adopt my wrong gods, wrong decisions, wrong values. This is the most damaging consequence of all. Well, what are the benefits for holding these biblical priorities? As a couple, as parents, the family will be guided by a genuine knowledge of God, by right decisions in life, and by eternal values. Then individually, you will know how to make decisions. When you face a decision in life, when you need to make the right move, use this third hand. Think through the five priorities. As silly as it might sound, hold this third hand up before your eyes. Literally, hold up your hand and look at it. Then think through the five priorities in their proper order. Jesus Christ, my marriage partner, children, church, work. And when you've finished, you will almost always know the right or best decision. Well, how valuable is that? Now let's turn to the biblical guidelines for the husband. Having identified these biblical principles, a husband can understand the place of importance and influence his wife is to hold in their marriage and home. The second most important issue for a Christian husband is his wife. Men, say it with me. The second biblical priority of my life is my wife. The second priority is summed up for a husband in two basic commands. Men, I emphasize this. God says many things to us about our wives, but he summarizes all of them in two commands. He keeps it simple. He knows that is what we need. The two biblical commands are, first, the husband is to love his wife. And secondly, the husband is instructed to understand his wife. Two words, love and understand. Now let's ask God to help us understand these two biblical words. The first word, love. Let's look at Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. The command of these verses is very clear. The husband is to love his wife. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. When we see this command, to love our wives, we have some definition of what it means. Some picture comes to our mind. We all have some concept of love, but our definition is often inaccurate or inadequate. The problem is, we don't have the ability to love as God loves. We only love as we define it or understand it. And until God teaches us and enables us to love in his way, we will never be able to fulfill this command. Consider this. There are two kinds of love, human love and divine love, our kind of love and God's kind. Let's look at human love for a moment. The Greeks had several words for love. Let's consider two of the most important ones. The first, phileo. This word meant to have a common interest with someone. It referred to brotherly love, as in a family or among close friends. Phileo. The second word, eros. This referred to sexual desire, the desire for sexual intimacy. In Greek mythology, eros was the god of love. In Roman mythology, it was Cupid. So humanly, we use the word love for brotherly love or sexual desire. At times, this human love can be very meaningful, at other times very weak and inadequate. But even when it is meaningful, it is never perfect. The other kind of love is divine love, God's love. Love that comes from God himself. Let's look at this divine love for a moment. The Greek language had another word for love, a word that was selected by the writers of the Greek New Testament to express the love of God. When this word was used of God, it was a perfect love. The word was agape. You've heard this word. You might know it well. Agape. It meant to love, to take genuine interest in someone, to invest in someone, to make your life part of their life. God's love is agape love. When used in Scripture of God, agape meant unconditional, sacrificial self-giving. It's used in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Please note, we don't have agape in and of ourselves. We don't love the way God loves. It is the gift of God to us. It is the work of God in us. So God's love, agape, is unconditional, sacrificial self-giving. Now let's expand this meaning just a bit. God's love is unconditional commitment. We are to love as He loves. What does this look like in a marriage? Well, first, unconditional commitment means that the husband is not allowed to place any conditions on his commitment to his wife. There can be no ifs, such as, I will love you if you do what I expect, or I will love you if you are a good wife to me. Then, unconditional commitment means that the husband is to maintain his commitment to his wife even when she does not seem to be committed to him. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we see a description of the love of Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Christ's response to those he loved was not determined by their response to him. His love was unconditional. Well, what is sacrificial self-giving? Sacrificial self-giving means that the husband is to give himself to meet the true needs of his wife. A husband is to focus on his wife's needs, those things which are essential, those things which matter for eternity, not just her wants, which often can be non-essential or short-lived. He is to lose his life for her, whatever that means. A biblical illustration of the love of Jesus is described in Mark 10:42-45. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." God's love does not lord it over others. God's love defines greatness as servanthood. God's love seeks to give life for the true needs of others. Well, what are the results? What will happen when I truly love my wife? First, she will grow spiritually. Christ's goal in loving the church, according to Ephesians 5:25, was to sanctify her. The word sanctify means to set apart, to make holy. This was the true need of the church, to be set apart from sin and set apart to Christ, to belong to Him. This must be the goal of the husband, to see his wife sanctified. This is the greatest love a husband can have for his wife, to see her set apart to the Lord, to belong to Jesus Christ, to see her living victoriously over sin, to see her being used by God for His glory. Remember, The highest, purest love I can have for my wife is to encourage her in her love for Christ. An amazing fact is that the more a wife grows in her love for Jesus Christ, the deeper and greater her love will be for her husband. Well, how does a husband accomplish this goal? The key is the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26 speaks of Christ's ministry to the church. It says, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. The Word of God performs a special ministry in the heart of every Christian. It sanctifies. It sets us apart to Christ. It cleanses. The husband must see that his wife has private time to be in the Word for herself. A wife is tremendously encouraged when her husband helps make it possible for her to spend quiet time in God's Word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, long for the pure, the unadulterated milk of the Word, that by it you may grow. So, my wife will grow spiritually. Secondly, when I love my wife, she will grow personally. Notice that Jesus Christ had a very personal goal in loving the church. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Notice, the church, Christ's bride, has her own special glory. Jesus Christ made it possible for his bride to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Jesus Christ made his bride beautiful. Notice, her beauty was primarily inward. It said that she should be holy and blameless. These are inward spiritual qualities of the heart and spirit. The goal of the husband must be to see his wife beautified, to see that she focuses on inner beauty, to see that she has no spot or wrinkle, no character flaws, deficiencies, or immaturities which limit her true personal beauty. How does a husband accomplish this goal? The key? Patient encouragement and prayer. A husband makes a serious mistake when he places his main focus on his wife's outer beauty. Men, here's a hard question. If I were to ask your wife where she feels the most pressure from you, on her outward beauty or on her inward beauty, what would she say? Where does she feel the pressure or expectation? A husband makes a serious mistake also when he puts pressure on his wife to change her personality or personality habits or traits. Men, remember, lasting change is God's work. Only He can do it. What your wife needs is patient encouragement for you to give God time to do His work in her life. One of the best sources of this patience for the husband and encouragement for the wife is joint prayer, seeking God together. Please note, joint prayer is extremely encouraging to a Christian wife. From it, she feels God's strength and her husband's support. Then, thirdly, when I love my wife, my marriage will be unified. When a husband loves his wife with the love of Christ, unity results. They are together in Christian growth. The husband's love will build his wife's respect. Remember, respect is the heart of a Christian woman's love. Then the husband's love will also cause his wife to respond to his love. Here's a great promise. Few women will fail to respond to love that is Christ-like. Before we go further, let's make application of these truths. Men, would you agree that we are incapable of loving our wives, of laying our lives down for them without God's help? Would you agree that most of us know little about sacrificial love? If it would be helpful, stop this recording and do two things. Talk to God, then talk to your wife. Talk to God by admitting your need of Him, for His life to do in you what you cannot. Talk to your wife. Admit your past failure and simply tell her that you desire for God to make changes in you that will change the way you relate to her. Men, we are instructed and enabled to love our wives the way Christ loves. The second command God gives to the husband is found in 1 Peter 3:7. It is that the husband is to understand his wife. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant to her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." The command of this verse is very clear. The husband is to understand his wife. He is to live with her according to knowledge. That's what the Greek text says. Live with your wives according to knowledge. He is to know who she really is. The Greek word used here is gnosis, knowledge. It is from the verb gnosko, which means to know experientially. To know something experientially is to know more than the basic facts. It is to have hands-on experience. It is the difference between reading a book about how skyscrapers are built or having been the architect of the building project. In marriage, it is the difference between just living with your wife or having an intimate awareness of who she really is. Finally, notice that this verse, 1 Peter 3:7, ends with a warning. A Christian husband's ability to pray for his wife will be hindered if he does not really understand her, the person she actually is, and if he does not honor her, truly respect who she is. Think of it, men. If we don't have an intimate awareness of our wives, we cannot be effective in praying for them. The problem, again, is that we as men don't really understand our wives. We might know a lot about them, but we really don't know them. When I'm speaking to groups of couples, I usually get some chuckles at this point, some pokes in the ribs, or even a lot of amens from the men. "You're right, Pastor Jerry. I don't understand my wife." Well, we can laugh about it, but it really is so true for many men. They struggle to understand their wives. May I suggest two reasons why this is true? First, they struggle because they had little or no family training. There was no biblical role model in their home. The father did not teach the sons how to love and understand women. And in many cases, the role model or father figure actually taught negative or harmful patterns toward women. Secondly, men struggle because they have had little or no biblical training. Many men were reared in a non-Christian home, and they received no biblical truth about the family. And sad to say, some Christian homes taught little or no biblical truth about the family. Then many men also grew up or attended churches that do not teach basic biblical truth about the family. Many churches do not teach men to honor women in the way God intended, as those deserving equal honor in the eyes of God. Well, to summarize, whatever the cause, many husbands do not understand their wives. Remember what I said in a previous session? The most common complaint I have heard from wives is, "He doesn't even know me." What is the meaning of intimate awareness? I believe that a wife desires to be known in three vital areas. First, intimate awareness of her physical needs. The physical needs we're referring to here are not sexual in nature. We're referring to things in the wife's life that are outward, in her physical world. Some illustrations of physical needs would be repair jobs around the house, daily responsibilities that exhaust her physically, domestic cares that prevent her from having any free time, especially time to spend with the Lord, situations that cause her to fear for physical safety, where a man's presence might help make a difference. Second, she desires intimate awareness of her emotional needs. Every woman has emotional needs. In the beauty of God's creative design, he caused most women to have a sensitive and caring nature, one especially helpful in motherhood. This is a tremendous strength and ability given to a woman. But this sensitive nature can, at times, be the basis of inward variations in mood, perspective, preference, making it difficult for a husband to interpret what she is feeling. So every wife needs the security of being understood by her husband. She must feel that she can share what is in her heart without running the risk of his rejection or ridicule or rebuke. A husband must never make light of what is of concern to his wife. Some illustrations of emotional needs are concerns about the children in the family, worry about financial needs of the family, concerns about relationship within her maiden family, worry about her health, concerns about her job or a relationship at work, concern about relationships or issues in the church, uncertainty about her relationship with you, her husband. Third, every woman needs intimate awareness of her spiritual needs. Every Christian woman has spiritual needs. These grow out of the fact that she is spiritually alive and desires to be pleasing to her Savior. Every Christian woman has the need, as Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here are some illustrations of spiritual needs. To have assurance of salvation. To have meaningful involvement in a church. To learn how to study God's Word for herself. To have time to spend in quiet with the Lord. To develop a personal prayer life, to develop a prayer life with you, her husband, to learn how to share spiritually with you, to learn to walk by faith, to learn to respond to spiritual warfare, to learn how to conquer fear or anger, to learn how to forgive. The important question for every husband is how. How can I have an intimate awareness of my wife? What are the means? Let's go back through the three areas where a wife desires to be known. Now, men, let me challenge you. The things I'm about to suggest to you really work. Pay careful attention. First, in order to be aware of her physical needs, make a list. Ask your wife to make a list of the things she needs done in her physical world and give that list to you. Read over the list, but before you argue or get angry about what she put on the list, Take the list to God. Pray over it. Then plan and carry out your wife's list. How long it takes is not the issue, as long as you are making a genuine effort. When you give the time and energy of your life to your wife in this area, you will be laying down your life for her. You'll be laying down your life in very practical and discernible ways. You will be meeting her needs. You will be loving her as Christ loved the church. Years ago, I taught with a Christian husband who was married to an unbelieving wife. Their relationship was strained by years of conflict and hurtful words. I took him through these basic principles, and he genuinely set about to help his wife with her physical world. He began to attempt to help her in the home, especially with the things he saw in the kitchen, like loading the dishwasher. One day his wife shouted, "I know what you're trying to do, and I appreciate it, but you're like a bull in a china closet. If you really want to show me that you love me, get out of my kitchen and go to the backyard and do the work I've been asking you to do for over a year." This husband needed a list from his wife. He needed to know what would be truly helpful to her in her physical world. His efforts were genuine but misguided. Men, ask your wife for a list. You can't be effective without it. Second, in order to be aware of her emotional needs, learn to listen. Ask God to make you sensitive to your wife's inner needs. Ask God to give you ears to hear what your wife is saying. Tell her you have realized your need to listen carefully to her and want to set aside a period of time to listen to her. Now be careful. This might be such a shock to your wife that she'll have heart symptoms. Tell her when this time will be and follow through on it. Do what you promised. Don't be surprised if something happens to hinder or interfere with the time. Our spiritual enemy is very real. Remember, he wants to kill your marriage. When you begin, restate your desire to listen to her. Do not interrupt your wife as she shares with you. Listen. A man came to see me whose wife was asking for a divorce. Her main complaint, "You don't even know me." He truly loved his wife, but had come to the point of total frustration in knowing what to do. He would say the right things to his wife, but nothing he said had any meaning to her. They had become empty words, empty promises. We discussed the need for a husband to learn how to listen to his wife and to gain an intimate awareness of her. The areas that she felt alone and unknown. I suggested that he arrange a time to listen to her and that he set clearly defined ground rules for their conversation. That he would listen to her without interruption and without arguing. They would talk about what she wanted to talk about. The results were very interesting. He followed through with the suggestions I had made. He suggested the time, and they sat down together. He told her again that he really wanted to listen to what was important to her, and that he was going to be quiet, to say nothing. Then he waited for his wife to begin talking. The wife responded by saying nothing. She said nothing for almost 10 minutes. Apparently, she didn't believe that he was serious. He had never been serious before. He had never let her speak from her heart without interruption or defensive argument. Then after a long silence, she began to cry. He said she cried uncontrollably for another 10 minutes. Now, at this point, most men bail out. They say, "That's just like a woman. This is why I can't talk to you." But this man waited. He kept his word. He said nothing. He waited. Eventually, she composed herself and began to talk, and she talked for the next 2 hours. She told her husband that she had been waiting for 20 years to have this conversation. His comment was, "She told me things about herself that she had never been able to tell me." Men, most of our wives have things hidden deep within them that they want or need to share. What would your wife say to you? What would she reveal about herself that you do not know? Men, realize this. You can live with a woman for much of a lifetime and never really know her. There are a few things that would mean more to her than intimate awareness. There are a few things that would express your love more clearly. Learn to listen. Please notice, learning to listen is the foundation for the next and final step. Thirdly, in order to be aware of her spiritual needs, read and pray. Tell your wife that you want to develop the habit of reading the Word of God with her and praying with her. Tell your wife that you want to experience the bonding of spiritual union with her, that you want oneness on the deepest level, the level of the Spirit. Follow through by agreeing to structure your life to allow for private time to read the Word of God together. This time will not involve the children. They need their own time of Bible reading and Bible stories, but this is for you as a couple. This will probably be hard to do. It will require major changes in the structure of your family life. Sometimes it is nothing less than spiritual war, but it is a war that God will win if you obey Him. Warning, don't preach to each other. Just read the Word together. Take turns reading the Word out loud. Sometimes, for us as men, we feel embarrassed to read publicly, even in the presence of our wife. Men, a husband reading the Word of God out loud, even when he makes mistakes, is like beautiful music to the ears of a Christian wife. It has great power. Do it, and within a few weeks, it will be natural to you. A helpful note, don't become legalistic. You probably won't be able to have this time every night, especially if you have young children. But grab every opportunity your life will allow. Just don't let a full week go by without having at least one quality time together in the Word of God. After you've read the Word of God together, share what has been meaningful to you, what God has said by His Word. Remember, though, sharing is not preaching. Conclude your time by praying together. Nothing reveals the deepest levels of our life than praying to God. When we speak to Him, we move to a different level of openness and honesty. Every Christian knows that you cannot play games with God. We know that He knows everything. So a husband and wife in prayer before God reach a deep level of openness and honesty. A different level of union begins to bond the marriage. This is a union that many marriages have never known. Men, pray with your wife, even if you stumble and stammer. Remember, you're talking to God, not your wife. Many men ask me, "Pastor Jerry, what do I say?" Well, if you've been practicing listening to your wife, you should have a long list of inner concerns. Take this list of inner concerns from your wife to the Lord in prayer. Just talk to God about your wife's concerns. Well, what will the results be? What will happen when you obey God in this matter? You will continue to build on the benefits that we listed earlier. First, your wife will have a growing respect for you as her husband. This will meet her deep need to be truly known by you. This will build her security by being able to trust you from her inner being. And then secondly, your wife will have a growing response to you as her husband. This will meet your needs to be one with her. This will build your self-worth as a man to know that you are truly loved by your wife. Aren't we grateful that God makes it simple and He makes it clear? Men, we are to love our wives and we are to know them with an intimate awareness. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my wife. She is your gift to me to be my helper in life. Without a healthy relationship with her, I can never fully become the man you intend for me to be. Father, I confess that I have failed my wife in many ways and that at times I have hurt and disappointed her. I ask your forgiveness. I ask her forgiveness. Be my enabler to love her unconditionally and sacrificially. My failures prove that I cannot do these things on my own. Thank you that you live in me. I want your love to flow through me to my wife. Father, I want to get to know my wife in areas that matter most to her. I want her to be the woman that you've created and saved her to be. I confess my selfishness. I want to change the structure of our home so that we can have regular times of communication with each other and with you. Enable me to be the leader in making these changes, and may our children reap the benefits of what you are doing in us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.